Good evening and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and in today's show, we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness. We'll be taking your calls and responding to your email questions. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. Good evening, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Michael.
How are you this evening?
I'm great.
Great.
Yourself?
Good. Good.
Very good.
And it feels more like evening these days when I say
it does, doesn't it? And back east, right now, it feels like the middle of the night.
Yes. It's probably been dark for hours back east.
It has. I was just there.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It was very funny to consider a radio show at that time of night. I'm very, very grateful that people interrupt their evening to spend part of it with us, because it's right in the middle of their evening.
It's right in the middle of their evening, exactly. You mentioned you were just back there. I was wondering if you wanted to spend a couple minutes and talk about the excitement that you were up to.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I tell you, there is just more fun being had than a person should have. Last weekend I was in British Columbia at a great little conference, and then came back and flew to Washington, D.C., where we met with the World Bank and USAID and, different kinds of people who were incredibly kind and generous and helpful and informative. We laughed many times about what a fast education we got.
Wow!
And how all of these systems work and these agencies and how to work with them, who to see, who to talk to, that sort of thing. People are very complimentary and encouraging about our project. One of the fellows we talked with is from an organization. It's part of the World Bank. It's called Cities Alliance, and their
Cities Alliance.
Their particular part of it is their campaign is Cities Without Slums.
Oh.
And he was telling us that right now there are 1 billion people living in slums around the world.
Uh-huh.
And by 2020, I think it's the Millennium Project, has a goal of improving the lives of 100 million people who are living in poverty currently. But by 2030, there will be 2 billion people living in slums.
Wow.
And the situation is just growing so much faster than people can kind of wrap their minds around. And
yes.
So the fact that we are devoted to turning it around in this particular slum, you know, they're just very encouraging about the way we're going about it, you know.
Uh-huh.
Partnering with the people and getting the people's enthusiasm for what we're doing, rather than just kind of coming in from the outside and throwing money at a situation. Instead, we're working with people to get them on board and have them make it their project, and then we will just assist them in providing the things that they don't have. So that was just a great experience, and it was very fun being there the day after Election Day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just to get people's takes and reactions and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then we went down to Athens, Georgia, where folks there were doing a fundraiser. A group of people had gotten together and decided that they wanted to put on a dance performance to benefit Living Compassion. And then it did what is currently happening here in Calaveras County, where all of a sudden people just start jumping on board, and they wound up with this whole evening show with eight dance groups performing, and they showed the video, and yeah, it was just wonderful.
Great.
A wonderful evening.
That's exciting.
And then flew home.
Yeah. For the next thing, the next moment.
And what I the next thing, what I've been doing today that I'm just so excited about, a couple of the local businesses approached us and asked if we would be interested in having them introduce the community to Living Compassion, to create some T-shirts that say Gratitude Wants to Give and Living Compassion on the back of it, and put up pictures of the kids in the store windows, and do those kinds of fundraisers through the for the holiday season. And of course, we said,
Yes, please.
That sounds great. And now the local newspapers are doing stories because one of the people contributing to this is a local artist who became quite well known for doing art on clothing.
Oh.
So she does painted clothing.
Yes.
And so she heard what was happening and contacted us and said she'd like to bring up a bunch of her clothing, and now she's making jewelry and this sort of thing. And all the proceeds go to Living Compassion.
Wow.
And then today we just heard about two other stores that are interested in getting involved, and so the newspapers are coming, and they're taking pictures, and it's just very fun.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
It's like contagious.
It is contagious.
Yes.
It really is.
Yeah.
And I think it's the, you know, what people have been saying to me is, you know, we're just, we're looking for something that's positive.
Yes.
You know, at this time of year, we're looking for hopefulness and inspiration and that sort of thing. And it's not just this time of year.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
That works well all year round, as far as I can tell.
Yes.
So, and of course, Living Compassion has that in abundance.
Yes.
So it's good.
Yes. It seems like that's what we focus on.
Yeah.
How to inspire ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's for me, it's turning our attention to what is inspiring.
Yes.
Because there is, you know, little Jake and his life is good.
Yeah.
You know, it's true. Life is good. And of course, if we're not careful, conditioning is going to convince us that we should turn our attention to what doesn't work and what's hopeless and where there's despair and what's wrong with us and that sort of thing. And it has to, as we talk about all the time, it has to work so hard to try to capture our attention because it's so bogus.
Yeah.
It's just so not true.
Yeah.
That life is miserable and horrible and hopeless and all of that. Conditioning is all of that. Life isn't. And so to have the opportunity to be a part of something that is exciting and fun and hopeful, where people are getting together and making a difference for one another, that's just a glorious thing.
Certainly attracts me.
Yeah, me too. I love it.
Sherry, this is a call-in talk show.
No.
And I guess we called it.
Call in if I quit talking.
Well, we called in, so I guess that makes it a call-in talk show.
Oh, that's a good point.
We have another person calling in.
All right.
I'd like to welcome Catherine from St. Louis. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello. Hi, Sherry.
Hello. How are you?
I am well, and I hear that, and from what you've said, you sound very well, too.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Good.
Yeah. What's going on?
Well, I'm noticing that if I'm feeling kind of low and someone else praises me for something or gives me a compliment, it can really help.
Uh-huh.
But I can't seem to do that for myself.
Uh-huh. Because, or?
Well, if I can't, when I try to praise myself, it just doesn't feel right, or it doesn't it just doesn't kind of soak in. It doesn't help.
Uh-huh. So it kind of hits a roadblock on its way in?
Yeah. Yeah, uh-huh. And that's different from reassurances. I guess I'm thinking for praise and compliments as being something very specific, like...
You did a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really a good job. You worked hard on that, and that went well, and good for
right.
you.
Right, and it seems like I can't allow myself to give, to have a positive assessment of what I do. I don't know, but I can't seem to, I just can't receive it.
Uh-huh. Well, let me ask you this. When you're going to do that, how does it go? So it occurs to you that, in fact, you did do a good job, or that was a good thing, or however it is.
That's a good question. I think it's maybe I'm trying to counter self-hate. Like, uh-huh. self-hate's beating me up and really telling me everything that's wrong with me. And so I'm trying to come back with positive things.
Right.
And maybe that's just why it's not working.
And the system then that's there in place is already pretty established with, oh, no.
Yeah.
No, it's not true. The real truth is what you're hearing from self-hatred.
Okay, yeah.
You know, so that's what's yeah. established. And then somebody comes in to say, well, no, but it's already one down.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
If you believed it, you wouldn't be saying it.
Oh, I wouldn't have to be telling myself that.
Yeah. But here's the thing that I'm curious about. How long do you try to do this, give this information before you give up?
Oh, not very long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just not very long at all.
Yeah. Yeah. And I remember, I may have told you this before, but we had a monk who developed this process where he would be having a hard time, and you know, self-hate would be winning, and he would just take out a pen and paper, and he'd start writing thank you. And each time he would write it, he would say it. And he would just keep doing that until he wore the voices down.
Mm.
And what he realized was he couldn't just say it. If he just tried to say it, the voices could distract him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would, you know, his mind would wander, his attention would wander, and then he would go into feeling bad because he couldn't stay focused.
Mm-hmm.
But if he wrote and said it at the same time, it was harder for conditioning to distract him.
So it was some reinforcement to write it.
Yeah.
Sounds like.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So do you think thank you is the way to go rather than trying to write nice things about myself?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do. Because it speaks to the broader picture.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Now, you could say, you could, you know, if it's... if it's a specific, you know, that was a good job,
mm-hmm.
And you wanted to try that, you know, you just write it and say it, write it and say it, write it and say it, write it and say
mm-hmm.
it.
Okay.
But the thank you, or even I love you, is so much bigger than whatever that specific is.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
the thank you is thank you to you for being you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for everything you do. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for making the difference that you make.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not dependent upon any one particular achievement or contribution.
Right. So it's not dependent on a standard or meeting a standard. Of
That's right.
Yeah.
It's just you for you.
Okay. Okay, well,
and,
great.
And just to, you know, I mean, you can put on music you like or, you know, whatever, so because you might be in for a long haul.
Okay.
You know, it doesn't like to lose, and it doesn't want to give up. So, it'd be nice if if we could, when we want to turn this around, be as tenacious. But it takes us a while, usually, to build up that level of tenacity.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're kind of building muscle here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So just keep at it.
Yeah, you're just going to stay with it until you win. And, you know, then you'll let us know how it gives up. You know, oh, well, I don't care about that anyway. Shut up.
Oh,
you know, that's stupid, whatever it is. But you'll know, because you'll feel that shift inside yourself. You'll know mm-hmm. that you won and it lost.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're going for, you know, with mm-hmm. conditioning. That's what we're trying to prove to ourselves, is if I stay at this, if I keep coming back to the breath, if I keep coming back to center, eventually it wears down. I get stronger and it gets weaker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
We'll hear from you soon.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Catherine. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we have another caller.
Right.
I'd like to welcome Rebecca, Texas. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hey, Sherry.
Hi there.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Now I can hear you too.
All right. What's going on?
Oh, well, I'm interested in what you were just telling the caller before me about it will eventually wear down, and that is, you know, that is my experience. However, I'm kind of in the middle of something where some really old stuff is coming back now, and it's kind of interesting. So let me just kind of see what's happening with you, okay?
All right.
I'm making some changes and trying some new things in my work and in my kind of my professional life.
Uh-huh.
And it's not that I'm quitting my old job or anything like that, although I can see that eventually happening, but I'm just trying to expand in some new areas. And it's like an earthquake has happened, and all of these old conditioned fears are just coming up again, fears around me. I'm not working hard enough. I'm, you know, messing with a good thing. I'm, you know, just all of that stuff that happens, I guess, when we try to break out of something.
Uh-huh. So now let me see if I'm following or just projecting wildly.
Okay.
So the voices, you might hear the voices expressing dissatisfaction.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's this wrong with the job and that wrong, and if this were different, and it would really be better if and you what you should be doing is. Do you get some of that?
Yeah, I get some of that, and I've gotten some of that for a long, long time, so I'm kind of on to that.
Uh-huh. But it's making those cases.
Oh, yeah.
It's not satisfied.
Absolutely.
And then you decide that you're going to maybe switch something up a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And suddenly, you're a fool.
Well, I'm a fool, and the same old, you know, you used to tell me a lot that I don't work hard enough, for example, that I don't have energy for this work, and I'm lazy, and I need to work harder, I need to throw myself into this, and so now that I'm thinking about it in a different way, and I've really got energy for kind of some new things, it's coming in and really bringing all that up again.
Oh, so it's not trying to tell you that you should stick with this because it's such a great deal. It's telling you, it's going back to, this is how you're not doing well in this job.
Yeah, it's how I'm not doing well, but there is also this, you're messing with the, you know, you, you, It's both. It's just everything. It's all across, you know, kind of every angle of self-hate is coming in.
Every case that it can possibly make for what's wrong with you, it's going
to
make.
Yeah, it is so good to just put that out there and see, because no wonder I've been so confused lately. I'm just getting it from all these different directions.
Yeah, yeah. And now, this is one of those things that I don't know and I can't prove, but I always like to put out to people, because I want other people to be paying attention so that we can maybe gather data on
mm-hmm.
the subject.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there are certain times in life when things go in a particular way. And what I think is going on in the world now is that people are getting hit with a lot of old stuff.
Hmm.
So it's like things are cycling around. You know, I hear from people a lot, boy, I thought I was over that. I thought I was finished with that. You know, I worked so, I mean, I haven't been there for years. And now, you know, that kind of thing.
You're hearing that a lot now?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm hearing that a lot now. And so I always listen for those, you know, that just kind of what are the patterns that we all seem to be participating in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I suspect that we're in that level of recycling,
mm-hmm.
where people are getting a chance. I always talk about it as a final exam, but then sometimes I think maybe it's more a midterm. You know, a final exam, then I'm going to really be in for a shock when I have to take another one.
Yeah, one of those comprehensive exams where they cover everything you've ever, you know, we're ever supposed to have learned ever.
Yeah, and you get to take one of those every few years.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, it is kind of, you know, I mean, today when it hit, because I was tired at the end of the day and I didn't have a lot of energy to do some of the things that, you know, in the past, you know, I go through these cycles where I have a whole lot of energy for the work and then I'll hit this kind of lull where I just won't. And and I have not heard for a long time how lazy I am, you know, and that was what was coming through earlier this evening.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, wow, that's really something to hear that again.
That's almost like going back to being a teenager, isn't it?
Yeah.
When your parents were, you know, you're tired all the time because you're a teenager, and teenagers are just tired all the time, and then people are telling you how lazy you are.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
we're
exactly.
traumatized by that, and we work ourselves to death as adults trying to compensate for those few teenage years where we were told we were lazy.
Oh, geez. Or those many lifetimes when we had to work hard to just stay alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Know?
Did you read the, I don't want to put you on the spot, but the 20th email last month?
Yeah.
It was the one where I was talking about energy expanding and contracting and that whole emptiness and fullness.
Yes.
Thing.
Yes.
Yeah. And it sounds like that's a piece of it as well. You know, just the way you're describing, sometimes you have lots of energy for it, and then other times you don't have energy for it. Or you know, you get to the end of the day and you're really tired.
Yeah.
And how the energy is just fluctuating.
Yeah.
Throughout the day, through the week, through the month,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then we can step back and also see it over years.
Yeah, and kind of universal, as you're pointing out, that maybe it's a kind of an energy thing, this recycling thing that a lot of us are kind of experiencing too.
Yeah, I think so. And because we don't have these kinds of conversations with people,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't occur to us that everybody is having the same experience. And because we're taught to believe that it's very personal and that what's really going on is proof that there's something wrong with us.
Yeah.
Then we get stuck believing a lot of suffering things that are just not true and that are unnecessary.
Well, and also it seems like an energy shift is a little, you know, like I was describing, I'm putting together a website and thinking about a new direction for some of this work, and so there is a lot of energy for that. And so what I'm noticing is, as I'm watching the energy kind of from this old way of thinking about my work to a not kind of a newer way, it seems like that shift has opened up the space where this self-hate can kind of have its last gasping breath, I'm hoping, or maybe it's not the last, but you know.
Well, it's going to get in there and gasp for as long as it can.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I mean, does that make sense that could be what's going on? Or?
Yeah, I heard myself say recently, you know, I just love change. And I do love change. I, you know, just kind of change for change's sake. Just change something. Because it gets energy moving. It's it keeps everything fresh and alive. And so we have a lot of conditioning that says that's not okay.
Yeah.
So I say, I love change, and most people around me are going to say, I don't. I hate change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a friend who has a T-shirt that says change is bad. And, you know, just flat out, change is bad.
Yeah.
And so if our conditioning is for us to stay the same, stay in the same situation, stay with the same people, keep doing the same thing, that's somehow... Well, it's admired, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's noble. I mean, we have a lot of positive ways of talking about people who stay the course.
Yes.
Very popular. And people who cut and run are not good people at all.
Uh-huh.
Just two popular phrases.
That's right.
So if then you get into a place where... you're interested in new. You want to go in a new direction. You want to try something else. You've got a lot of energy for that. What's going to take that energy away? What's going to consume that energy? What's going to come in right behind that?
Is all the self-hate and the conditioning that says it staying the course is what's best.
Uh-huh.
Hmm.
I don't know that. It's
just
some place that I would encourage you to look.
Well, you know, even as you were saying that, I could feel, it felt so reassuring. I could feel kind of the heart chakra just soften because I think that it just felt reassuring. I think that is exactly what's going on.
Yeah. So I would encourage you to watch it from that angle. You know, watch that excitement and enthusiasm come up. You're working on something that you feel good about and you're looking forward to, and then just out of the corner of your eye, watch for what's going to take that energy.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to come in and grab it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thanks. That's so helpful.
Well, you're very welcome.
All right. We all take care.
You too. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Rebecca. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on Talk Radio. Phone lines are open here if you'd like to join our conversation today. Give us a call toll-free in North America. The number is 866-613-1612. We're going to break now, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Coming up next on Open Air in our second half of today's show, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious, compassionate awareness, taking your calls and responding to your email questions. So keep it tuned here, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we have another caller.
Hmm.
I'd like to welcome Andrea from Tacoma, Washington. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello.
Good evening.
Hi. I just want to say hello to you and Michael, and congratulations with everything in Africa.
Ah, thank you.
Yeah, and I'm calling just because what I'm dealing with today is pain, and I just thought I'd call and get some help with that.
All right. What kind of pain are we talking about?
Well, I just had an injection of 100 cc's into my shoulder joint today, a few hours ago, and it's just a lot of pain. I've had this problem of frozen shoulder, and it's pretty painful right now, and I just thought it would be nice to call in and.
And so, what, how are you approaching that? What are you doing?
Well, I'm just sitting here, not really doing much with the arm right now, but just kind of. Definitely, I noticed that I'm in kind of a funk mentally.
Uh-huh.
You know.
And does it feel like there's some of that that's physical, or does it feel like it's more a mental reaction to a physical condition?
I think it's both, actually, because I was really, really tired when I woke up this morning, so it's been a very low-energy day, and then it feels like the procedure that I went through today took quite a bit out of me.
Uh-huh.
And what I think I notice is that when I'm low energy, what many times my voice says is, I'm depressed.
Uh-huh.
So low energy is called depression.
Yeah. Well, because they do look a lot alike, don't they?
They do. And what I notice is that if I stay in bed a long time in the morning, many times what happens is I'll be really tired, and then there'll be kind of this transition where I go from tiredness to these stories that come in and self-talk that says, you know, all kinds of nasty things to me.
Uh-huh. And so have you learned with that it's better for you not to lie in bed?
Yeah. So usually I get out of bed about pretty reasonably early in the morning, but I was so tired today that I really felt like I needed a nap and noticed that the first half hour felt good. Like I really, everything was really tired. My muscles just, I'd had a really long day yesterday. And I guess for me it's, how do I have a nap, which is beneficial and sometimes I need, without, you know, getting the bad part of it, you know.
Uh-huh. And what do you come up with when you consider that?
Well, I guess what came up is that I probably, when I first woke up, I probably, the best thing is to just get out of bed right away instead of just, what comes up is, oh, I'm awake, I don't want to get out of bed.
Uh-huh. And do you know who is saying that?
Boy, that's a really good question. I don't know, actually.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I've ever even investigated that.
Okay, well, then that's your assignment.
Uh-huh.
Because what I hear you saying is that you've watched it enough, that you have pretty good information
mm-hmm.
that says if you lie around in bed too long,
mm-hmm.
It will turn into depression.
Yeah.
And then there's somebody who wakes up from a nap and says, I don't want to get up. I'm tired, I don't want to get up.
Mm-hmm.
And what we know from experience is, if you don't get up, that's going to lead to depression.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So it's as if it's a setup or something.
Yeah, who would want to talk a person into a situation like that. I know who I'm nominating for the lead character.
Self-hate?
Yeah. Self-hate, conditioning, you know, whatever, however we want to talk about that system that wants to put you in a position of suffering. Because that's what's going to happen.
Right. And I think with the pain, I think it's kind of a similar thing. I think it's... this voice is coming up and saying, well, you know, you should be in a bad state, you know, basically talking me into I should be suffering with the pain.
Right. This is really legitimate. This bad thing has happened to you, and the reaction to have to that is, and then it kind of makes sure that you have the correct response.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it'd be interesting to know if you weren't being programmed in that way, what might your response be?
You know, it's funny because I'm enough distant from it to kind of see that there's this part of me which feels like it's no big deal.
Uh-huh.
That I just did very well in the injection and okay, big deal, it's a little bit of pain, but these physical issues usually don't usually touch my buttons as much as some of these mental issues.
Uh-huh.
So I've, you know, there's this other part saying, but it should be a big deal.
Oh, now isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, then we have to wonder why. Why should it be a big deal? You know, why, since big deal translates into suffering, essentially what's being said is, but you should suffer over this.
I think the reason it gives is because it's acceptable in this culture to suffer with physical pain, but it's not acceptable to suffer over mental pain. So it's okay to have a physical ailment, but not to be so-called mentally ill is the belief.
Yeah, so you might as well, you want to really take advantage of this.
Yeah, you know what I just saw is because, you know, this whole time I've struggled with what I've called depression, and it's been kind of a stigma, and I'm afraid to talk about it. And now I finally have something that's socially acceptable to talk about.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, and you should. So if that's the case, what is the result of that? Now, why would you want to talk about it?
I think because I've been so shut up with being able to talk about how mentally I feel, because I feel like I have to hide it, that there's only a few people I can talk to about that. And with this, you know, I can finally kind of let the floodgates open. It's like a compensating device or something.
Uh-huh. So it feels like an opportunity to connect with people?
Yes, I think so, actually, because when I was having the procedure done, the most intense sorrow I felt was actually this feeling of, God, I wish I was working in a hospital, because I felt like the radiologist, he seemed very nice, and I felt really connected to him and the technician, it wasn't like the sorrow I felt was because of my shoulder. It was the sorrow of, boy, I wish I was in this environment and working in it or something. That's how I felt.
Uh-huh.
Which, yeah. Of course, then immediately this voice came in and said, you shouldn't be feeling that way.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So it is an interesting combination, isn't it, that you need to have this experience so that you will have a way to connect with people,
yes,
and something to talk about, and the something to talk about is suffering.
Yeah.
So you have to suffer in order to connect with people.
Oh, that's very interesting. I didn't see that, but that's what it seems like it comes down to, yeah.
And, you know, in a backwards sort of a way, that's what it's got you doing with the depression. Because even, you know, now this is a bit of a stretch, but in a dualistic world, mm-hmm, connection runs the whole range, right? So we can be as connected to people through hatred as through love.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Yeah?
It's kind of like misery loves company, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I can hate a group of people, and they become my whole life. Do you see what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that all of my attention, all of my energy, everything about my life is focused on these people that I despise. Maybe even more focused on them than if I loved them. Because if I loved them, then that would be a part of my life, but perhaps not such an all-consuming force.
You know what comes up for me when you say that? Is that maybe I'm focusing on how I hate myself.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, maybe I'm projecting it inside instead of to another group of people.
Yeah. Yeah. And so if you are depressed and it's your fault, mm-hmm, I mean, it's a source of self-hatred, right? It's a source, it's something that conditioning can use.
Yeah,
it's a lot of arguments about what's wrong with you.
Exactly, it's a stigma.
Yeah,
what conditioning says.
And if that keeps you from connecting to people, mm-hmm, it can be as much of a connection to people as loving them.
So it's kind of like a negative connection.
A negative connection, yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting, because the story that goes for me is that, you know, if I walk into a room, what I've noticed is the self-talk is, I don't have anything in common with these people.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So there's the connection.
Yeah, and what I'm seeing now is that, I guess I already said it, but it's just that I seem to suffer more from that than the actual physical pain in the whole process of, you know, the whole shoulder business.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And as you've pointed out, one is acceptable and one is unacceptable.
Yeah.
So the emotional or mental pain puts you in relationship with people, in a relationship with people that is negative.
Yeah.
You're totally focused on them, completely connected through this story of lack of connection.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And then the physical pain, that's okay. We're all in agreement. We can all commiserate about that. So then it's a connection with people that we would call, erroneously, but it would be called positive.
Interesting. Yeah. So my assignment is... What is my assignment again? Stupid dust always settles on me in these situations.
Well, you know what? I've completely forgotten myself. So maybe Michael was listening and heard the assignment.
No assignment has been given.
Uh-huh. We'll see there. We can make one up.
Yeah.
Well, I think the assignment, of course, is simply to watch that that connection.
Watch, you know, the whole process.
Yeah, what's okay for you and what's not okay for you.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, now I don't want to set you up in any way here.
Sure.
But I have suspected for a while that being sick,
mm-hmm,
is a way that we have of getting what we aren't allowed to have when we're well.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that is so true for me. Definitely.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you don't want to set yourself up in a position where the only time you get to be connected to people in what feels like a positive way is if there's something physically wrong with you.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So... one of the places that I would really like for you to look in this, you walk into a room full of people and you hear the voice say, I don't have anything in common with these people.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to begin to challenge that.
Mm.
You hear it,
mm-hmm,
and you believe it.
Right.
Hearing it and believing it doesn't make it true.
And how do I challenge it?
Well, one of the easiest ways to challenge the voices is a simple, how do you know that? To the voice.
It gives a lot of evidence. such as they're much younger than you, or, you know,
well,
they're...
Now, you don't have anything in common with people because they're younger.
Yeah.
Well, you used to be younger, and one day they'll be older.
Right.
So age and aging is definitely something all human beings have in common.
Yeah?
So I just want you to really look at whether you're believing this evidence or not, whether you're, from a place of conscious awareness, if you're willing to believe it. Because for me to say, I don't have anything in common with these people, they're younger than I am, would just be silly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We have all kinds of things in common.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. I guess what it comes down to is that I believe it.
That's right. The person listening believes the person who is talking.
Yeah.
That's the relationship of suffering.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Okay. So what we're attempting to do is step back and get somebody different there. You can get somebody different talking.
Mm-hmm.
You can get somebody different listening. And the suffering dynamic is broken up.
Wow, and I even have Believe Nothing on my refrigerator.
Yeah, well, you know, it can be a comfort to us that what we are doing remains consistent. So you have the conditioning that you have,
mm-hmm.
and what you need to do about it will remain the same all your life.
So as long as I can learn to do what I need to do, then it won't change much.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
So you have this karma to believe. Let's just make it, you know, with what we've been talking about. You have a karma to believe that you're different.
Right.
Okay. So that will probably remain with you throughout your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It'll be something that will, you know, the previous caller was talking about, we were talking about things cycling through.
Right.
So when things cycle through for you, that's one of the ones that's going to cycle through.
Right.
Now, all that's going to happen is that you're going to cease believing that conditioning is true. It'll be there, but you won't believe it.
Oh, boy, I feel that would liberate me so much if I could just not believe it.
That's right. It does. Yeah. And as a reminder, there are many things that you have done that process with. You're just applying it now to this piece of content.
Which I have to agree with you is one of my core pieces of content.
Yes.
I've had since I can remember.
Yes. So you're looking to break up that little duo by either having somebody different listening, somebody who can hear that, and as I encourage, say, how do you know that?
Mm.
So the person who's listening turns to the person who's talking and says, how do you know that? You don't know that. You don't know these people. We don't know these people. We might be all exactly alike. Okay? So that's somebody different listening, somebody different speaking. You walk in, and there's somebody quite young who feels self-conscious and out of place and that sort of thing. Somebody different talking would be, it's fine. You know, I'm here with you, and these are just people. We're all just folks here. And, you know, we have problems. They have problems. Let's go see what theirs are and see where we can connect and the things that we might find that we enjoy and share.
Yeah.
Okay? So either side of the equation, get somebody else there, and the suffering falls away.
Wow. You know what? It just reminds me of a friend's parents came to visit, and they're, you know, like red state America. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm not going to have anything in common. And by the end, I actually felt really, really, you know, like full of love for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because what you have in common is so much bigger than any differences that you could come up with. So when we, you know, to take this into a larger, more philosophical realm, you know, we look around the world. I was just on an airplane with this man, an African American, older African American man, and we were just kind of noting the difficulties that human beings have relating to one another. And he said, the one that he enjoys most or looks at with most amazement is Ireland, where, as you know, as far he can't tell who he would never be able to tell which person was on which side, because they're Protestants and Catholics.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I said, and you know, the biggest irony of all, they're all Christians.
Yeah.
And yet they can find differences that make them want to kill one another. Now, when we're outside of it, to us, they look all Irish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? As a Buddhist, I would look at them and say, you're all Christian.
Right.
You know, come on, folks. You all eat the same thing. You wear the same kind of clothes. You know, you love the same countryside. You listen to the same music. You got a lot in common.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, and it's really helpful.
Good. So that is the homework.
Okay.
You hear that, and it just flags you. Wait a minute. How do you know that that's true? We don't know anything about these people.
Right.
You know, I have brown hair, and that person is a blonde. Okay, these are not differences that we want to, you know, create new countries over.
No.
Yeah. So let's look at these people and begin to find out how we're the same.
Well, thank you, Sherry.
You are most welcome. Take care of yourself and that shoulder.
Yes, I will.
All right.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Andrea. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have about 2.5 minutes left, and we have one more caller.
Hey.
I'd like to welcome Tracy, Colorado. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good, except for I'm a little bit sad because I was so excited to hear that the lines were open, and I had to kind of fish around for the phone number, and I missed it. But I'm really feeling good that at least I have 2 minutes.
There you go. And, you know, there's always next week.
There's always next week. And so here's, can I ask a 60-second question?
Yep.
What I'm really struggling with on the theme of change is when, I'm feeling like I've been really wanting a change in my work environment because I'm really feeling isolated. I'm self-employed, and I'm just wanting more to be part of, more of a group process and kind of participating in that way. And I had an opportunity kind of present itself, and it would mean, going back and kind of to some school and, you know, to kind of a learning environment. And at first, it had some great appeal. And then, and this is where I'm not sure if it's conditioned or reality, I started getting really anxious just thinking, going back to the how you do anything is how you do everything, and really wondering that question of, you know, there are a lot of really great things about my job that it gives me the flexibility to do a lot of things that I feel very passionate about. And so it made me start thinking that it's not really my job, but it's how I'm going about doing it, versus do I really need to make a change? And that's where it feels like I'm not sure what's real and what's conditioning.
Uh-huh. Okay, so here's the game, okay?
Okay.
For the next, so it's a two-week assignment. For
okay.
the next week, you are going to leave this job and go do this new thing.
Okay.
And, I mean, you're 100%, you know, you're thinking loose ends that you need to tie up.
Okay.
How do you need to, okay, because you're out of here. And
okay.
you're making arrangements for your new thing, okay? Then
okay.
the next week, you're not.
Okay.
You're staying. You're going to look at the job that you have and how, you know, everything about it. Because you're in this for the rest of your life, as far as we know.
Okay.
Okay? And yep. Now, of course, opposing views are going to try to come up, but
right.
the game is wholeheartedly to be in whatever it is that you're in for that week.
For that week.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, and then you're going to let us know, huh?
I'm going to let you know. I'll call
right.
back in 2 weeks.
Great.
Good. Well, thank you. I'm glad that I had 2 minutes.
Me too.
Yes.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, talk to you in 2 weeks.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Tracy. You're listening to, actually, you have been listening to another great hour of Open Air with Sherry Huber. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you. That was fun, huh?
That was still great fun.
Yeah. All right. Let's do it again.
And we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Good night.
Good night.